Hey guys, do you like heavy metal? Do you like video games, comic books, movies, theme parks, or even cool TV shows? We've got the place for you. Metal Geeks. Time to rock out with your geek out. Here are your hosts, Kerry the Metal Geek, Dave, and George. Geek it out, fellas.
Welcome, my friends, to episode number 130 of the Metal Geeks podcast. I am one of your hosts. I am Kerry the Metal Geek.
It's Brutal Dave here. 130. What?
130, I know, man.
I've been here for like 100 episodes then or so.
Wow, has it been that long?
It's, yeah. I came in somewhere around the 30 mark. I don't remember where exactly.
I think it has been that long. Mm-hmm. Wow. And I've been on every single episode. I was thinking about that recently. It's, you know, some shows, they have hosts where they... Like this episode, George is not here again, so it's just me and you. Mm-hmm. And sometimes, but I've been on every single episode of this show and MSRcast. I think which is crazy. We're coming up to 200 episodes on that show.
Cool.
Start doing more of those, I think, too. More of this show. We can get to 500, man. I'm saying we can do it. Let's do it.
Indeed.
Let's do two or three a week. We can make it. We'll run out of things to say so quickly. This was like a little 5-minute
episode.
The format
of the show is going to go down to a 15-minute episode.
Right? Exactly right. So speaking of the format of this episode, since it's just Brutal Dave and myself, we are going to do it a little bit differently. We're not going to have George Hates Metal or What's Tickling Our Geek, but we have some cool topics that we want to talk about. Definitely some Disney stuff going on right now in the news, and we've both seen some movies recently that we can talk about. So what have you been up to, though? What have you been up to since Comic Palooza?
Recovering from Comic Palooza. I haven't been like on like straight vacation mode. I've been doing some work, but I've been taking it easy since Comic Palooza, because between that and doing Sherwood prior to that, we're fried. We're quite tired. So we've been taking a more laid-back approach, doing some stuff with the kids, getting out and doing a couple things, just kind of taking some mental health time.
Wearing badass Foolish Mortals t-shirts.
I'm wearing my Foolish Mortals t-shirt from our friends over at Foolish Mortals Doc or Documentary.
That's right. So, I just pre-ordered the documentary last week. It was like Memorial Day weekend. They had a 50% off sale, so I put my money down.
Cool. Cool. I think I was just looking. I think they're having the premiere on July 15th.
Yeah.
July 15th?
Near Disneyland, actually.
In Anaheim, yeah. Yeah. It's very cool.
Wish I could be there.
But July 15th in Anaheim at Red Lion, 1850 South Harbor Boulevard in Anaheim. So
by Disneyland, yeah. If you want to hear more about the Foolish Mortals documentary, which is, of course, a documentary all about one of our favorite places, the Haunted Mansion.
Specifically about the fans of
the fans,
Haunted Mansion.
Which I wish we could have been involved in that. Maybe in the sequel we can go meet up with these guys. But check it out. I mean, it's something near and dear to our hearts. Mm-hmm. And a lot of people... Did you see that during the promotions? I think it was a fit... And they decked it out in full wrap of Haunted Mansion wallpaper and stuff. I texted to my wife. I'm like, can we do that to our car? didn't get a good answer. That would be cool.
No green light on that, huh?
No green light. Nope. Speaking of, do you want to get into Disneyland while we're talking about it?
We'll get there. Let's talk about what have we been up to.
Okay.
In recovery mode. Oh, so I did finally see a movie, and it's too bad that George can't be here.
Would he hate it or love it?
He hated it.
Oh, okay.
I finally saw the Ghostbusters reboot. It came on TV, and I recorded it and watched it.
All right, so I'm going to shut up. I want to hear your opinion.
Definitely, it's no original Ghostbusters.
Nope.
But it might be better than Ghostbusters 2.
Oh! Wow.
I enjoyed it. I had fun watching it. Like, some of the jokes didn't land. Like, it wasn't perfect. I get it. But it was fun. And you know, I felt like one of the complaints that I heard about it was that the ghosts look stupid and cartoony. And I would ask anybody who makes that contention, did you watch the originals? Because the ghosts have always been cheesy and cartoony looking.
Somewhat, yeah. I'm neither a hater or an apologizer for this movie. I'm somewhere in the middle. I did not hate it.
I had fun watching it.
We actually saw it in the theater. My wife wanted to see it, so it was fun. There's some good stuff in there, but yeah, I mean, there's some towards the end where it all becomes just like the same plot of every summer movie.
Yes.
Big light going in the sky, you know?
Yeah.
But besides that, I mean, I think the four girls were funny.
Kate McKinnon was great in it. I think she's hilarious. She was fun to watch.
Oh, yeah.
Leslie Jones, I felt like, was pretty funny all the way through it.
Did not hate Melissa McCarthy in this movie?
I don't hate Melissa McCarthy. I know.
Spicer. I'm sorry.
Sean Spicer. I think she's reasonably funny. I think her Sean Spicer skits are fucking hilarious.
Yeah.
But yeah, I mean, I thought everyone did a pretty good job.
She's over the top. I mean, she's like Chris Farley was over that
kind of,
you know,
yeah.
But it's not every role that she does, because he had some sort of serious stuff a little bit. But I think if he would have stayed alive, been alive today, mm-hmm. he would be doing stuff like what Adam Sandler's doing. He's doing stupid comedies, but he's also doing, you know, broad dramas as well.
Mm-hmm.
I think that's where he would have been in his career, and he would have been good at it.
Maybe so.
Maybe.
Maybe so. So yeah, that was fine. I enjoyed it. Not a terrible movie. I don't get what all the fuss was about. I mean, it wasn't the greatest thing ever, but it wasn't terrible. I don't get what all the fuss was about.
I agree. And I didn't fight for it, but I said it's not horrible. If you go to the movie and you have a good time,
right?
That's all you want.
Yeah, pretty much.
Hey, I know it's not going to be, you know, Oscar worthy movie. I'm going to go in there, eat my popcorn, and watch people shoot beams at a freaking ghost on screen.
Right.
And have fun. Sometimes that's all you want.
Yep. So did that. We'll talk about some of the other movies and stuff that I've seen recently.
I've seen three movies in the theater recently.
I've been in other content that I'm way late to the game on.
Uh-huh.
I've been playing Grand Theft Auto 5.
Oh, wow.
So that's, yeah.
Well, you know, we had one of the main characters at Comic Palooza.
Yeah.
Stephen Hogg, yeah.
Trevor.
Trevor.
Yeah. Funny character.
Oh, yeah.
He does a really good job.
It's a Rockstar, their name is really apt because they make great games. They don't make, sometimes the gameplay can be a little off and wonky, but character development, narrative style, even if you're not like into gangster and all that kind of stuff, the characters in these games are phenomenal.
They become, where I am now, they're becoming that way.
Yeah.
They all started out really annoying. Mm. Like, all of the main characters to me started out really annoying, especially the stuff with, like, Michael's family and everything. I'm like, I don't care. I don't care about any of this stuff. But I've gotten to the point where they leave.
Okay.
And I'm like, cool. Now it's more interesting now that they're gone. It's a Grand Theft Auto game, so it's all going to be chock full of vulgar jokes and, you know, all the store names are dick jokes and everything like that, you know. But
all the racism you can want in a video game.
Right. But I felt like the stuff where it was him and his family, I felt like it was too much of it. And I'm like, okay, like it's not funny enough to me. But
you're
now
playing on PS4?
Yeah, I'm playing the remastered version on PS4. But yeah, once they leave... and it becomes more about the three of them getting together and doing stuff and like the planning heists and all that kind of stuff. I'm enjoying it more as I've gotten further into it.
What I did pick up a game. I picked up Rime, okay. R-I-M-E, which is, it's a beautiful, beautiful game. There's no action in it really though.
Okay.
It's not supposed to be very long. It's actually, being produced, published by a local video game company called Six Foot, who I know a lot of people that are over there. I know a couple of my friends actually worked on this game, so I wanted to support them, and they had a presence at Comic Palooza. Think about a modern day Wind Waker, just like the aesthetic, the look mm-hmm. of Wind Waker, but sort of the gameplay of what Zelda would be if there was no action.
No combat.
So there's puzzles and climbing and all this kind of stuff. And it's a really beautiful, relaxing game. You can just sit back and just play this game and, you know, okay, what am I going to do next? Where do I need to go? Here's a puzzle here. Okay, that wasn't too difficult. But there's no tense fighting moments. So you just sit back and just have fun playing it.
That's cool.
It's a really good game. And it's not supposedly very long. It's only like 6 to 7 hours. But I think that's a perfect length for a game like that.
Yeah, I can see that.
It's sort of like Journey, that type of, you know, that stream of consciousness, just gameplay, you know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
So it's...
I like that kind of stuff. I never played Journey, but I was intrigued by the idea of it. But I like any... One of the reasons that I like more indie games...
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I play major releases as well, but one of the things that I really like about the indie game world is that, to me, that's where all of the development happens for what will become of the video game world.
Yeah.
Because the major players, your EAs and all of these guys, they have too much money wrapped up in these to take gambles, and they don't. And so they end up putting the same stuff out constantly. Some of it's good. Some of it's where they're the best at whatever the thing is that they do, but it's still more or less they're putting out the same stuff over and over.
I agree, because Call of Duty Infinite Warfare that came out last year, yes, it was still a Call of Duty game, but I think it was the best Call of Duty game I played in a long time, because it had that whole space aspect and travel, space travel and everything. It felt like what Mass Effect could have been if it was a first-person shooter.
Okay.
That was more bro gamer.
Okay.
But if you haven't played that, it's really, really good.
I may get around to it. I'm not real big on the Call of Duty games, which you couldn't tell by looking at my collection, because I have a bunch of them, but I haven't played most of them. I got them all in like a bundle that I bought off somebody.
Oh, yeah.
They were a big fan, and so it looks like I'm a big fan if you were just to go in and look at my collection, but I've not really played any of them.
We know that yours.
So I don't care. But yeah, to me, in the indie game world is where they can take risks and find game mechanics that maybe haven't been done before, or use them in a way that you haven't seen, or focus on a different aesthetic experience or something like that.
New gameplay styles too. Yeah. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
I've also been playing Lego Dimensions. They opened up the Goonies pack that I have. It's cool because you get to play. You play as Sloth, and you can switch back and forth. You can play Chunk too.
Okay.
I don't know how long the game is, but it's fun. I haven't really heard any of the music that I've been wanting to hear in the game yet. Maybe they don't have the rights to the music.
Maybe.
But one of the cons was a San Antonio that Corey Feldman was playing. Yeah, Alamo City a couple weeks ago.
Corey Feldman, this was last weekend. Was he there?
Yeah, he was there.
I didn't realize that.
A lot of the Goonies cast was there.
Okay.
And he did a concert at the Corova, which is a club in San Antonio, with his, I'm using air quotes, his band.
It's fucking weird.
And I saw somebody on my Facebook friend feed that was there live streaming a little bit of it, and they did the Goonies Are Good Enough song. It ruined my childhood. It was really, really, really bad. They had some girl, I don't know who the girl was, singing on stage.
Yeah.
Couldn't carry any kind of note. And then they would go up to Corey Feldman. He was playing on some keyboard thing, and he would start singing. It was really bad. Really bad.
Yeah, I saw when he did his, reveal of this project. I guess it was the Today Show. I guess that's what it was. It was so cringeworthy. Like, it was one of those things where, like, you just genuinely feel bad for everyone involved in this. Like, you're like, at some point, somebody should have had the balls to go, no,
that's not a good idea.
This is a bad idea.
Yeah.
Oh, man, it's embarrassing.
It really is. And Corey Feldman used to be, like, when I was growing up, people said I looked like him growing up.
Okay.
So people used to call me Corey instead of Gary, but, you know, I don't want to be associated with that anymore. I'm done. People used to say I look like Grandpa Munster, too, but...
I'm calling you Grandpa from now on.
Maybe. Yeah, maybe it's the facial hair. I don't know what it is in the yelling at people. See, there's my Corey Feldman picture right there.
Okay.
What else have I been up to? Not much. We watched the third season of Unbreakable Kimmy Schmidt on Netflix. Okay. It's still funny.
I haven't seen any of that.
Not
show
as
yet.
Funny the first season, of course. It's starting to get into that a little bit of a slump.
Mm-hmm.
I just started picking up the season 5, I think, of is it 6 or I can't 5 or 6, maybe 6 of Once Upon a Time. I just watched the first episode today. And there's a weird thing, season 7, they're continuing with the show.
But your main character is gone.
All the main characters are gone. Maybe like 2 or 3 of them are still there. Like the Regina, the evil witch. I can't remember who else, but like this Snow White, Prince Charming, the main character, the savior, I can't think of her name now, is gone. All those characters are gone.
Emma.
Thank you, yeah. I just watched an episode during lunch today. How did I forget that? But Rumpelstiltskin is still there. So maybe like 2 or 3 main characters. But out of an ensemble cast of like, you know, 10 people, you're losing like 7 people. It's crazy.
Yeah. I don't have a lot vested in that show. I couldn't really get into it.
You have to devote yourself to it. Because it gets really bad. I'm not saying it's a good show at all. So don't get me wrong. I'm just addicted to it. It's bad, but I like it. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
It's just the special effects in it are horrible.
I can forgive that, especially for you know the kind of production.
The
that
green
it is.
Screen work is it. Like you said, I'm going to use your word. It's cringeworthy.
It is sometimes.
You're like,
but
oh God.
I can forgive it based on like the kind of production that it is. It's just it's so saccharine.
Yeah.
And it seems like the kind of thing that like I should be into just
because you're into Disney.
Because I'm into Disney. I'm into like, you know, fantasy stories and all this kind of stuff. But it's so sickeningly sweet and I guess predictable and everything that I just had trouble getting into it.
I can't disagree with anything you're saying.
Yeah.
The only reason I really watched it all because it was on Netflix. So it's just one of those things like I'm gonna try watching it, and once I start watching a show like that, I try to go through the whole thing, even if I stop enjoying myself at some point. It's a weird thing.
I've actually my Netflix TV show recently, again, another property I'm like way behind on.
Yeah.
I've been watching Breaking Bad finally on Netflix.
I watched maybe the first half of the first season. I need to get back into it.
It gets really good in the third season.
Okay.
Like it starts to get better in the second season, and then by
the first season I'm like, everybody's like, oh, this is such an amazing show, and it's really sort of, it's okay.
It's okay to start out with, but yeah, I felt like in season 3, things really ramp up, and the Jesse Pinkman character becomes really interesting.
Okay.
And I can't remember, I'm going blank on that actor's name, but he does a really good job, the guy who plays him.
Aaron Paul.
Yeah. He does a really great job, and to me, he kind of becomes the main character of the show.
Oh, really?
To me. Like, he maybe doesn't get as much screen time, but he has more character development.
Bryan Cranston's a great actor.
Oh, he's fantastic.
I actually met somebody on that show when I was in L.A. for a school trip when I was in my college class. We were at Pink's Hot Dogs, and I don't remember the guy's name, but he plays Bryan Cranston's son on the show.
Oh, yeah. Okay.
Yeah, we ran into him. Because one of the people we were with, she's like, oh my God, it's the guy from Breaking Bad. I'm like, I have never seen that. So we went and got a picture with him anyways.
Yeah.
Whatever. There's a couple shows like that I started getting into, like Mr. Robot. I know I'd enjoy that.
I know I'd like that. I need to check that one out too.
We're caught up on Silicon Valley.
Need to watch that one
which
too.
The next season, there's not going to be TJ Miller. He said he's not coming back. I guess he's too busy doing movies now, you know?
Yeah.
And he's one of the great parts of that show.
Okay.
Yeah. You haven't seen that show at all?
No, I don't know anything about it.
Okay.
I mean, other than it sounds like something that I would want to check out.
Oh, yeah. It's right up your sardonic alley. Really is. If you like Mike Judge, it's right up your alley.
Well, and I like T.J. Miller, too. Yes. So.
Everybody in the show is really great.
Okay.
Yeah, I definitely recommend picking it up. If you do you have access to like HBO Go or whatever?
I actually might right now because we just changed our TV provider, and I think we're getting the movie channels for free for a while. So
if you are, log into on your PS4, download the HBO Go app, log into your account that way, and you can watch every season of it.
Yeah.
So let's get into some of the movies we saw.
Okay.
So the last episode we did was live at Comic Palooza, and we had our very special guest, Ming Chen. Again, thanks a lot to him for coming on and geeking out with us. We learned some interesting facts about him. It's a very cool episode if you haven't listened to it, because we didn't try to do the typical, you know, interview style.
Yeah.
But we did, you know, we talked about the new season of the show coming up and all that kind of stuff. But
we did some kind of typical interview highlights, but really mostly Ming just kind of talked for 40 minutes. That was pretty
like
cool.
Ming tends to do. But we touched upon Guardians of the Galaxy Volume 2, I think.
Okay.
You saw it, right?
Yes.
So do you want to give our...
I'm trying to remember if I had seen it
at the show
then or not. Did it come out that same weekend, or was it
the weekend before? Yeah, the weekend prior.
Okay, then I think I had seen it already. So yeah, I did. Yes, I have seen Guardians.
That's another.
2.
That's a movie I want to go see again in the theater.
Yeah,
because I saw like the Thursday opening night, and there's a lot of stuff that I'm already forgetting. You know, maybe it's a good weekend one to go see.
Yeah, it's probably you're probably gonna be able to find good seats without having to fight for them.
Yeah, everybody's watching Wonder Woman this weekend.
Yeah.
Which looks cool. Wonder Woman, they say it's the best DC movie.
It's a low bar.
But I was about to say, that's not very hard to do. They did say that the third act of the movie gets sort of predictable. Like the fight and all that. I'm like, oh, that's the DC quality then.
Yeah.
They all do that.
Yeah.
Even Guardians of the Galaxy Volume 2 was sort of that way. The third act was sort of eh.
It was funny enough all the way through, though, and everybody was so just chewing up the scenery with their parts.
Oh, yeah.
It was fun as hell to watch.
Oh, yeah.
And I don't think it's been a couple weeks now, so spoiler alert in full effect. what other movie are you going to have the main hero turn into a giant Pac-Man to defeat the bad guy?
Pixels.
What?
Oh, Pixels had a giant Pac-Man and turn into it. That's the only two I can think of that have a giant Pac-Man in it. That's true. Vagina Pac-Man? What? The voice from the other room just said Vagina Pac-Man. I don't know what kind of games you're playing.
Ms. Pac-Man to you.
Oh, yeah. There you go. But let's give our overall review, because I'm sure everybody listening to the show, it's 3 weeks since it came out.
Mm-hmm.
Everybody's seen it. Everybody loves it. It's made $1 billion in the theater.
Better than the first one?
Not better than the first one, but still in my top 5 Marvel movies.
I was trying to decide if I thought it was better than the first one, and I guess what I enjoyed about it is because we already know who everyone is.
Yeah.
They can just go right into the funny and the action, and you're already with them. And so in that way, it had that advantage. You know, that's not always an advantage. Sometimes that's a problem that a sequel has, is that, well, you already know everything about these characters. I don't feel like that was the issue.
How many times
here.
Do we have to know their origin story?
Right. But in this case, I felt like it was an advantage that because we already know who all of these characters are, they can just go right into the action and the jokes.
They did.
And they went, they were from the very beginning.
I think my biggest complaint about it is I know it's their cash grab, but I think they focused a little bit too much on Baby Groot. It was just like, oh, okay, enough.
I didn't feel like it was too much. I mean, obviously, like during the opening
fighting
credits,
sequence.
But I thought that was a funny way to handle that.
It was just it was a little weird. maybe if I go back and watch it, I'll be like, okay, now I can appreciate that a little bit more. But
I thought it was cool because it's like they're in the middle of a we come in on them in the middle of a fight that we don't really know much of anything about, and it's not important to the larger story. So it was just a way to be like, hey, by the way, this is going to be funny first and foremost.
A lot of great Easter eggs in the movie too. Mm-hmm. This might be a spoiler, but Stan Lee has a great cameo in this movie, which sort of ties all of his cameos and all the Marvel movies together into one character.
So he's one of the observers?
The Watchers. They say he's a Watcher. I'm not sure if he's actually a Watcher or if he's just telling a story to the Watcher, but because he definitely doesn't look like him, but...
But it's implied that he's all of his cameos has all been the same
character. Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
But I've been a fan of like Uatu the Watcher, that those characters, since I was a little kid, and seeing them on the screen just blew my mind.
So apparently another one of the Easter eggs was that the actual original Guardians were in this as well.
The versions of them, yeah. So Stallone is one of the original Guardians, and the team that he was with at the end are portions of the original Guardians.
Right.
The Guardians, 3000 is what they call now, whatever.
Okay.
But the original series by Jim Starlin, I believe, which is, people don't realize that. There's a different Guardians group. Mm-hmm. Yeah. It's cool, though. If you've read the Guardians at all recently.
I have not.
It's a fun series.
My introduction to the property as a whole was in one of the Marvel versus Capcom games, and Rocket is in there. And exactly. I'm like, who the hell is Rocket Raccoon? I've never heard of this before. So that was how I found out about any of this.
And they've had different characters flow in and out recently. Like Agent Venom's been in there. They've had Angela.
Yeah, I've heard that.
Which is cool because she was a character created
for Spawn.
Now she's part of the Marvel Universe, and she's been part of Guardians. Kitty Pryde was part of the Guardians for a while because she was dating Star-Lord.
Okay.
It's cool. The Bendis run is really, really cool. But go see Guardians if you not have Volume 2 if you haven't seen it. Music is great. Everything about it is great. It looks beautiful. I need to go see it in IMAX, actually, if I can, but I probably missed my opportunity for that.
Maybe.
All right. So moving on to other new movies we've seen. How about we do... want to do the one that's closer to our minds?
Okay.
Let's do Pirates of the Caribbean.
Okay.
Dead Men Tell No Tales. Part 5, right?
I said... Yeah, Part 5. I have said several times in the past that if they continue to make these movies, I will continue to watch them. So they have, and I did. So
I agree with that. Question is, was there a need to? No.
No.
But it's great. Right now, probably since it's so fresh in my mind, it's my favorite Pirates movie since the original. It captures the feeling of the original Pirates of the Caribbean movie better than I think the last two or three even have.
I'm trying to decide. I'm not sure how. I haven't thought of it in terms of which ones do I like best, because it sets everything in motion, and it was the first attempt at grabbing that adventurous feeling and putting it on screen. And so and it's the most cohesive story. It's the best by the standards that you usually measure these things. It's the best movie of all of them.
Yes.
They've gotten very rambling and not always cohesive or coherent. But that is totally forgivable to me because they're a ridiculous amount of fun. They almost feel like guilty pleasure territory to me as a whole, because they're so over the top and all of the performances are just kind of ridiculous, but they're also and the action sequences are ridiculous and everything is so over the top.
It is.
And the stories are so weird and not necessarily coherent that they almost feel like they should belong in guilty pleasure territory to me. But I really like them, and I really liked this one. I had a lot of fun.
It's a fun movie.
They always do a really good job to me with the villains.
Yeah.
And Javier Bardem was chewing up scenery, man.
Oh, yeah, he was. Spitting it out.
Chewing it up and spitting it out.
He's a very good choice to play a bad guy in this universe. And, you know, the typical tropes, one of the main characters is the son of Will Turner and blah, blah, blah. Sorry if it's a spoiler or anything, but...
I don't even know if that was supposed to be a secret, but I went into it, like, I'm pretty sure that kid we've seen in the trailer is the son of Will Turner.
Right. So. I don't think they ever, like, before the movie, when the trailer, they didn't really say, hey, you're Will Turner's son, but it was sort of... They showed obvious. That real clip. It was obvious, a little real short clip of Will Turner returning as, you know, the ghost.
Mm-hmm.
Because he was, what's the name of the ship?
The Flying Dutchman.
Flying Dutchman, yeah. He's a captain now. You're the captain now.
Yep.
But I had a lot of fun in this movie. Everybody was great. Barbossa.
He's
Jeffrey fantastic. Rush was Jeffrey Rush phenomenal has, in this movie.
I was so... when they brought him back at the end of the second movie, I was so happy that they were bringing that character back, even though, again, this is in that guilty story. How they handle, like, everything in these movies is so ridiculous. It's like, oh, yeah, and by the way, we went down to Davy Jones' locker and we found Barbossa, and now he's back. Yeah. Like, I don't even care. I don't care how stupid that is.
I've heard of Davy Jones' locker. That could be true.
Don't even care. I'm just glad he's back.
In the whole thing about this movie, they were trying to find the trident of
Poseidon
because it can cure all sea curses.
Mm-hmm. Point.
Oh, yeah.
There's apparently a lot of
everybody's
curses.
Everybody's cursed.
Yeah. If you've been on the ocean at all, you've probably got a little bit of curse.
Yeah. So I guess it was a good thing to find that.
I guess. But, well, I mean, this will be spoilery. Can I go there?
We can go spoilery.
We'll go spoilery. So here's your warning. Now the trident's been broken, curses are gone, now we have all new curses ready to be made and no way to fix them now because the trident's broken.
That's true.
Maybe. What do you think the after credits stinger was about?
Do you really want to go spoiler there?
I don't know. We've already announced spoiler warning.
Okay. Did you saw the after credits,
yeah.
right? Okay. Mm-hmm. If you go see the movie after the... It's really after credits. It's after all the credits. It's not like a mid-stinger or like a Marvel thing where they shoot one and then like our Guardian, they had like five of them. But this is at the very, 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 very end of all the credits. Will Turner and his bride...
Elizabeth.
Guess, yeah, we can say that. Elizabeth, she's back. She doesn't say one word in the movie, though. But...
It's for the best.
I guess so. did you not know what the ending was, or...?
Well... I understood what I saw.
Yeah.
But I don't understand what it means.
Right. So they have a shadowy figure walk
which
over...
Which is implied to be Davy Jones.
Yeah. Because you can see the shadow, the tentacle moving on his face.
He raises the big claw arm up, and you see that. And Will wakes up, starts up from his sleep, like he senses it there, and there's nothing there. So it's like, oh, it's just a bad dream. And so he goes back to sleep, and camera pans down to the floor, and there's like a puddle with barnacles in it.
Yep.
So what does that mean? If all of the sea curses are gone, because Davy Jones is supposed to be dead, which is why Will Turner became the captain of the Flying Dutchman. So
it's true.
What does any of that mean? And does it mean anything? Because they play fast and loose with the rules in this universe.
And
anyway.
They said this is the last movie anyway, so who knows?
I thought they were making at least one more after this one. I thought there was...
I heard this was the final one.
Okay.
They might go... I don't know. I've heard there's going to be other versions, but maybe... I don't know. I don't know what they're going to do.
Okay.
I hope they do more. Everything about these movies are the music, Hans Zimmer's score, it's a chilling score. You're like, oh, I feel so exhilarated listening to this and watching this movie.
So when I leave the Pirates movies at the end, yeah, I mean, it leaves me with that feeling, despite all of the goofiness and the, like I said, they play fast and loose with the rules. A lot of stuff isn't consistent, but they're fun and they give you that adventurous feeling.
I don't think these movies would play as well if they weren't so goofy.
Yeah.
If they were too straight,
if they were serious, they'd be terrible.
It would not be good. They'd be like, okay, this is stupid.
Yeah.
Johnny Depp, this is one of his my
iconic
favorite
iconic roles.
Yeah, second favorite character. First favorite character of him. The second one is Guy LaPointe.
From
the Tusk trilogy movies.
Okay.
If you haven't seen those, he is the best part of those movies.
Okay.
He chews up that scenery in those movies so badly. Kevin Smith tells a story about when they're working on the character, and then he goes into Johnny Depp's trailer one morning, and it was like the first day of shooting on the character, and he has this big prosthetic penis on his face as his nose, and he's like, "Do you think this is too much?" And he's like, "No, that's perfect." So yeah, there you go. So yeah, Johnny Depp gets to play Jack Sparrow and then Guy LaPointe, but you know, and a little bit of a nod too.
I used to watch that movie like it was a religious thing. I used to watch it like once a week.
It's one of Tim Burton's best movies.
Yeah,
that and Beetlejuice, I think. Oh well. So Pirates, let's give
I enjoyed it. Cheesy and fun, goofiness abounded. So I'll give it.
let's do a rating scale, I guess, of 10.
Okay.
10 horns.
See, I don't do ratings. This is why I don't do ratings.
Let's just say horns up.
Definitely horns up.
Horns up. Definitely. Let's go on to the other movie that we saw that might not be as much horns up for me.
Okay.
That was Alien Covenant.
Okay.
Here's what I want to say about that first. The trailers made it out to be a totally different looking movie.
Mm-hmm.
I knew it was going to be a sort of a direct sequel to Prometheus, and I liked Prometheus. I liked what that movie was because it was a different style of movie. And I thought this was going to be more of a, like the original Alien movie.
Mm-hmm.
Science fiction mixed with more horror, but it was definitely more of a sci-fi movie.
Yeah.
And I don't hate this movie at all. It's just, it didn't live up to my expectations of what I wanted it to be. There's a lot of things I think fundamentally wrong with the movie. There is no character development. You didn't care about these characters because they did the character development in that short.
See, I haven't even seen that short that you're referring to.
Okay. So they put it out maybe a month or so before the movie came out. And it was like a 5 or 6 minute short, introduced all the characters, introduced you to the captain of the ship, which was Franco, who's not in
not
the movie.
Not even really in the movie.
Yeah. And
I thought that was weird. Just
yeah.
on its face. I'm like, why do they have James Franco in a role that's not a role in this movie?
See, that's the thing. It's if you hadn't watched this intro, you know, get to know the characters short film they did, you go into this confused by who all these people are, what their purpose is, what they're doing, what their mission is.
That didn't seem unclear to me.
I mean, they talk about it, but they didn't explain it like they did, like in that short, you know what I mean? They didn't say, oh, we're on a mission to repopulate another planet, try to find a planet to populate. They you didn't know that everybody there were couples. Like, you didn't know two of the guys were a gay couple. You didn't know that these two people were couples. These were couples. It was just, you didn't really know, you know what I mean?
So, I didn't catch the gay couple, but that everyone else was paired off. I got, okay. So, that I didn't feel, but I'm not going to, I don't disagree with you about the character development thing, especially in regards to, it was particularly noticeable to me in, Billy Crudup's
character. I was about to say Billy Crudup. He was...
I don't... Like, because they made a really big deal early on about how he's supposed to be a religious man.
Yeah.
And that this was supposed to be a... played out. And the whole him being a man of faith never really factored into anything in the movie.
And it should have. It
felt like it should have.
Especially the scene where he was... When he was figuring out what was going on with... On the plane.
Especially think that that stuff would matter.
Yeah.
Especially, and given, I mean, given the religious tone of these last two movies anyway, both, I mean, the names of them are religious. Prometheus is a mythological figure who is punished for eternity for stealing fire from the gods to give to man. And so, you know, those parallels. Then the covenant is a religious term.
Yeah.
And you've got David, a biblical name, who is engaging in deity-like activities and asking questions about creation. And, you know, there's definitely lots of religious ideas bandied around in these movies. And so it felt like, sure, you've got a religious character that's going to factor into this, but then it never really did. And that was noticeable and disappointing to me. On the other hand, though there wasn't a lot of character development, I liked all of the characters on the crew of the ship, despite that fact. Like, I was kind of concerned that we were going to get a lot of, especially with, I always forget the guy's name that
Danny
played
McBride.
Tennis. Danny McBride. Yeah. I was fully expecting Danny McBride to be completely ridiculous, and he
completely
wasn't.
Completely over-the-top comedy relief. Yeah.
And he wasn't. He felt like an actual character. And the rest of the crew, to me, did too. They didn't know much about them.
I agree. They felt like real people. They all had real, you know, you're right. Even when they started getting picked off, you know.
Yeah.
I mean, I just felt like I just would feel a little bit more about the characters, you know, when they do eventually die.
Mm-hmm.
There are some really cool things. The albino alien,
mm-hmm.
and it felt like that scene in Jurassic Park. The raptors were chasing them.
Okay,
you know, and they had the high brush. It started to get very, let's use that word, tropey again. It was like, okay,
that character, but it felt so obvious. Like, from the moment he steps out of the temple.
Walter, the other character played by David Fassbender, the other model, that Bob, what he was doing.
Right.
And it was all Walter at the end.
Because this movie, really, when Prometheus came out, and then I read a similar thought articulated.
Into a full grown adult.
I'll have to watch it again. I don't remember how that series all comes together. Yeah, that was a throwback to the first movie.
But just like the big Alien versus Predator movies.
Those are definitely not canon because it messes up absolutely everything. But I will admit that I went to see the first one in the theater and I had fun watching it because it delivered what it promised. A movie called Alien versus Predator, they had like six people that you didn't care about and had nothing to do with anything. And then the rest of the movie, it was like 90 minutes of aliens fighting predators.
Like Freddy versus Jason.
Cool. I'm there. I liked Freddy versus Jason too for that reason.
Exactly right. When you put a versus in the title.
It's not good, but it delivered what it promised and it was fun.
All right, let's move on. We have some other topics, but let's get to our sponsor real quick.
Okay.
So we have a new sponsor here on the Metal Geeks podcast, and let's give a few minutes and talk about it.
Okay.
We have a spiel here, but we're not going to do this spiel. We're going to wait for George to come back to do it this way. sorry, guys. Our new sponsor is a company. It's a website called Tantrum Collectibles. They have pop vinyls, character statue, plushes, and more for the best price out there. In fact, right now, if you head over to tantrumcollectibles.com and use the coupon code METALGEEKS, you're going to save 10% off your order.
Cool.
Yeah. So, do they carry your favorite brands and franchises?
Yes.
Like?
Funko, obviously. I'm seeing Artifacts and Bandai. They've got stuff from Marvel, DC, Dragon Ball Z, all kinds.
If you're looking for Marvel, Funko, looking for some anime stuff, they have it all. So next time, I'm going to say it, don't throw a tantrum. Go to tantrumcollectibles.com and use a coupon code MetalGeeks for 10% off your order. And there you go. So thanks to our new sponsor at Tantrum Collectibles. Check them out. So let's get into our something that we can really dive into here.
Can I take a brief moment, because this won't take long,
sure,
before we get into, because this is going to be a long topic, but something we were talking about just before we came in here to record. So there's apparently a zoo in, and where did we say, in the Ukraine? There's a zoo in the Ukraine that has just erected a sculpture of Tom Araya from Slayer.
When I first saw the article, I was like, I looked at the address, URL, I'm like, is it one of the hardtimes.net? Is
right.
it a fake
this
article?
Is, like, this has to be a joke. It seemed like a joke.
But hashtag
I guess
fake news?
I guess it's a real thing.
This is a real thing. They really erected a statue to Tom Araya in the Ukraine in a zoo.
Why?
Why not? I can understand them doing a statue, a bronze statue to Lemmy at the Rainbow.
Sure.
Because he was there all the time.
Right.
But... yeah, this is
why
a little...
zoo in the Ukraine? Like, what connection does he have? Some connection to the Ukraine? I know that, like, I want to say his family is from Chile or somewhere else in
South America. Yeah.
I don't remember where specifically, but South America. I don't know why.
Not anywhere near the Ukraine.
Yeah, right.
That's so they weird. Really love the Slayer band over there, I guess.
Cool. So Ukraine zoos are more metal than you.
That's true.
So, anyway.
They only have Wolverines in their zoo, too.
Anyway, that's a mystery, but it was a weird bit of news that I wanted to just
now,
bring up.
While we're still talking about metal, I want to take a... I would be remiss if we didn't mention this. We've had him on the show before, Bruce Corbett, lead singer from Warbeast.
Yeah.
And Rigor Mortis.
Rigor Mortis, yeah.
Great guy. He's a great guy. Big geek. He's really into Batman and horror movies like you would not believe. But he's had cancer before.
Mm-hmm.
And
I thought that he had.
Yeah,
I didn't think that was a new thing.
No, it's not a new thing. He was doing okay for a while. He was going through treatment, but it's come back and got him in the esophagus.
That's not what you want when you're
no.
Bruce Corbett, for sure.
So he went through some radiation on Thursday and Friday of this past week and was able to play his very last show at a Warbeast CD release party in Fort Worth. So there is video out there of him doing that, and it's a really sad thing that he's not going to be able to perform anymore. They have a new album coming out soon. Mm-hmm. Check out the last episode of MSRcast that came out a couple days ago. We did a little bit of tribute to him, played a couple songs from each of his band.
He wouldn't know who I am, but I used to see him frequently.
Oh yeah.
Cause I'm from the Dallas area, and I used to see him at shows that I was playing or shows that, I was just attending, but he was always around. He was always supporting his scene. And
And like we did with MSRcast, there's a link to not a GoFundMe page, but a page where you could donate and help raise money, because the medical bills are going to be outrageous.
Yeah.
And I reached out to him today, actually, to set up an interview.
Cool.
So I'm going to try to get that going maybe this weekend. It's going to be for the podcast. I haven't decided which one yet. But this is a bit of a news, too. Justin is writing for Horror Geek Life.
Mm-hmm.
I just got brought on board to help write there, too.
Cool.
So my first piece is going to be an interview with Bruce Corbett about his music, his love of horror, and his cancer right now. So it's going to be hopefully not too an emotional thing, but, you know, I want to help him get the word out of what's going on with him, you know, and how we can help him.
Yeah.
So he's one of my Xbox One friends, which is cool. You know, every time I see his name pop up there, I'm like, hey, cool. It's Corbett. All right, so moving on. Something more cheesy and saccharine. Disneyland and Disney World.
Both had major attractions open up
major
this
attractions.
Last weekend.
Crazy.
Yeah.
And so did Universal Studios, too. They had their water park, the Volcano Bay,
oh, I did not
open
know
up
that.
In the same weekend, yeah. So let's talk about the Guardians of the Galaxy Mission Breakout. Okay. I've been watching stuff on this past couple days. So what they've done in Disney's California Adventure, you've never been there, right?
Correct.
Okay, so imagine going into the park. You go in through the front entrance. It's sort of like a main street. And then you go off to the side, to the left. You know, Disney Studios, Hollywood Studios.
Yeah.
To the right, where the Hollywood Street, where down and you go all the way down, and to the left is Rock and Roller Coaster, and to the right you have Tower of Terror.
Right.
Well, this is sort of like that. You go down to the left, and it curves, and you have the Hyperion Theater where they show, like, they used to have the Aladdin show, but now it's like Frozen. And around the corner, it's their smaller version of the Hollywood Tower of Terror,
mm-hmm.
which has now been converted into Guardians of the Galaxy Mission Breakout. It looks great. The facade looks amazing.
I don't like the facade.
You don't like it?
No, I don't. And until earlier today, all I had seen of it was the facade. I wasn't really looking into it.
Sure.
I was going to wait until it was open before I looked into it, but I don't like the facade. I don't think it's
attractive. Makes sense for what it is for the collector.
It kind of does, but it's not attractive. It's not an attractive building.
And here's the thing about the area. There's rumors now. There's like this thing on the ground right near it. There's a big Avengers logo, big A.
Heard about that.
And
yeah.
It's supposed to be like, there's rumors that they're going to convert a lot of the area to a Marvel area, which makes sense
because
mm-hmm. they're doing the Summer of Heroes, I think they're doing too. So they're doing like, Hilly did Star Wars summer, events. They have characters and shows and all this kind of stuff. They like to have the, what's the Star Wars kit for kids? You can.
Like the Jedi Academy?
The Jedi Academy. They're doing that for the Marvel Heroes here.
Okay.
Of course, you can't do that in Florida because of Universal Studios, but there's rumors that the area around it is going to be converted into a Marvel Land at California Adventure.
Right.
The only room they really have around there, the Guardians attraction now, is a Bugs Land, which is the kids area, and the area around the Hollywood Land where the Frozen Theater is, and they have a Monsters, Inc. attraction there, but not much else. Mostly shops. And there's like an animation attraction in there, but I could see them converting all that area into Marvel for sure.
Okay.
A restaurant, maybe a dark ride. I don't think there's room for like a roller coaster and a big major attraction, but they would have to really shoehorn things into it. You know what mm-hmm. I mean? But they could do it.
So I'm, like I said, I have not been impressed with the facade
uh-huh.
for this attraction.
You've watched some spoiler videos already, right?
Well, I watched a couple of different ride-throughs today. So I've seen the queue from a couple different angles, and I've seen the ride from a couple different angles now. Inside, it looks great.
Yeah,
it looks really good inside. I feel like they did I've never been to DCA, but I've done the Tower of Terror a whole bunch of times in Florida.
Yes.
And I can see all of it in there. Like
There's not a huge inside queue area.
And what's there, they didn't really change anything infrastructure wise.
No.
It looks like.
No.
It's all just they stripped it out and put a new face on everything.
Pretty much.
But it looks cool. There's like some promotional video as you're going in. So I guess the story more or less is that you are going to visit the collector's collection.
Yeah.
And so he's greeting you and showing you samples of what's to come
and
all this kind of stuff. And the Guardians of the Galaxy is the prime feature that you're here because he has captured the Guardians.
That's right.
And has them on display. And so then the line splits off and they send you into what used to be the study or the library for the Tower of Terror. And it's his office is what they're calling it.
His personal office. Yeah.
And they show in kind of like Tower of Terror, they start an introductory video and it gets cut off when an animatronic rocket comes into the room.
And that's an amazing animatronic.
It's a really good animatronic.
Holy crap.
He's fantastic. And he moves around the room, not completely around the room.
So he's like at the top of like a
he's on
like bookshelves.
The bookshelves and stuff.
But there's a point where there's like this pipe hanging out of the wall, and he sort of ducks under it.
Yeah.
I'm like, that's fucking amazing.
Yeah. And it's a really cool animatronic. It's funny. He tells you what he's planning to do and how you're going to help him help the Guardians break out of this
and
thing.
And the ride is it's a randomized ride now. You know, it was random before about how many drops there are,
mm-hmm.
but this is more of like Star Tours type of random where
right.
you're yep. going to have different music each time. It's not the same song. Mm-hmm. There's different
I noticed
video.
That.
Yeah, so
the video changes a little bit.
Yeah, so that's
the
sort of
video
very
was
cool.
pretty cool looking too. There's like layers of screens.
Yeah.
So you'll get like some of the main the different levels that you go to, you'll stop and it's like you'll get some of the main characters on the front screen, but then background stuff on the screens
yes.
behind it so that as you move, it still maintains kind of a 3D effect,
exactly.
which was really cool.
So the big difference between the layout of the Tower of Terror in Florida and then the one here, the one in Florida, you go up and then you push through. You actually, your vehicle actually moves
right.
forward mm-hmm. into a corridor and then
right.
into the drop chute. The one in California does not.
Mm-hmm.
It just up and then down. It's just one chute.
Mm-hmm.
So I think what they did in that the small area was, you know, being able to add those video screens and stuff like that. My favorite, I haven't actually wrote it yet, of course, but my favorite line is when they go to the very top and you see out in Disneyland and Rocket makes that comment. He's like, oh, look, Disneyland.
Oh, I didn't catch that.
You didn't catch that?
No.
It might be a random thing. I saw that. And I was like,
that's funny.
That's funny.
He also, I didn't catch it the first time, the first video I watched through, but the second one I saw it in the office room
uh-huh.
before they open the doors and let you into the next part of the queue. And before Rocket leaves the room, he's leaving. He goes, oh, I'm going to grab this. And you actually see his arm reach down into one of the cabinets,
mm.
and he grabs the Walkman. The Walkman is inside one of the cabinets.
Oh, really?
And you hear him go, oh, I'm going to grab this. And you see his arm reach down, and he picks it up and pulls it out.
Oh, that's cool.
Because they're going to use the music from
right,
the Walkman
right, right.
for the ride.
That makes sense.
Yeah.
You know, it's cool. The collection, when you first walk in, which it used to be like the lobby area where they have his collection now.
Mm-hmm.
This has been a big thing. If you look up all the way to the left, one of the containers hanging from the ceiling has Figment in it.
Oh, I didn't see any
of that. You haven't seen that yet?
It's they also
great.
Have in the what used to be the boiler room.
Yep.
They have a Yeti, in there.
It's the original Yeti.
From Matterhorn, isn't it?
From the Matterhorn, yeah.
Yeah.
The original Yeti. So there's cool, you know, homages to...
Yeah.
Two other Disney attractions, and in mm-hmm. I think Figment in there is pretty cool.
Yeah,
and they have something I want. They have a plush Howard the Duck doll that you can get, and it comes in like a container type of deal, like a plastic container. That I was like, okay, you had me sold on that one. And it's the modern Howard
yeah,
the Duck,
yeah.
you know, like all right. But I mean, it looks really fun. I mean, I don't know how soon I'm going to get back out there, but I'm looking forward to whenever I do.
I am, I do not want them to replace the one in Florida.
I don't think they ever would.
I don't think they have plans to, and I really hope they don't. I feel like the one in Florida is one of my favorite things, and it makes so much sense for that park, and I feel like it's a really important attraction to keep around in its current incarnation. I hope it doesn't go anywhere. That said, this thing looks a lot cooler than I was expecting it to be. Of the stuff that we're about to talk about, this is the one that I want to do the most, for sure.
There is a rumor, though, at Epcot that Ellen's Energy Adventure is going away, finally.
And it's going to be Guardians of the Galaxy themed.
That's a rumor.
I've heard that rumor.
The other rumor I've been hearing recently is they're going to actually put the Tron coaster in that space.
Okay. I've heard they're putting the Tron coaster over the Tomorrowland Speedway, which to me makes sense.
Maybe.
Because that's a huge open space.
Yeah.
And the Tomorrowland Speedway doesn't make sense.
Doesn't have a very strong throughput.
Not really.
Yeah, maybe. That could fit there, definitely. I mean, they could fit at Epcot, too. I don't know. Maybe. Maybe not. But if they do a Guardians attraction...
If you put another attraction at that scale in that location, then you've got... You've got, like, the three of the biggest attractions right there next to each other.
And the thing about...
You've got Test Track.
Yeah.
And you've got Mission Space, and then you would have...
All on
whatever
the same
this
side.
Other mystery Guardians attraction.
But you have the Wonder of Life in the middle too, though, which they just use.
Well,
for...
but that you don't even really see it unless you know to look for it,
right?
So
that's true. Yeah, I mean the Guardians of the Galaxy characters, they can actually do in Florida because that was not part of the original deal.
Okay.
With the Universal Studios park. So if you go to the Universal Studios, none of those characters because are even used at all. It's more Avenger style, more, you know, the mainstream characters, even though they do a lot of obscure X-Men and stuff like that in the area. But I think they did a great job in picking these characters from Guardians of the Galaxy, making that movie, making a phenomenal movie that everybody, because nobody knew who the fuck they were before the movie. Mm-hmm. Now everybody knows their names and they're able to use those likenesses, those characters to create something amazing. There was 8-hour lines for this new Guardians attraction in Disneyland.
Jeez.
I mean, just because it's a new attraction, I'm sure, but
right.
Yeah.
I remember, I won't do that.
No.
I won't. I don't need to be in the first of anything to wait that long for it, especially when I'm spending the kind of money that I'm spending to go just
right.
to be there.
Yeah.
I'm not spending all of my time waiting in line. But I remember one of my distinct memories of as a kid going to Disneyland was waiting in that kind of line for the Indiana Jones attraction. And I wish I still had my little translator cards.
Oh, yeah.
I kept them for a while,
oh,
and I
you?
Don't know what happened to them. They just kind of disappeared in the shuffle.
You must have, like, stared into the Aymara.
I guess. But I remember that was a really long line.
When was the last time you went to Disneyland?
That may have been the last time I went to Disneyland.
How old are you?
Maybe 12 or 13, somewhere in there. Uh-huh. I don't remember exactly. It's been a while.
Let me. I know you. You're probably planning another trip to Florida.
We are looking at Florida in December.
Why don't you
possibly.
Go to Disneyland?
There are reasons.
Okay,
but it's been in the discussion. We'll probably do Disneyland when our youngest is a little bit older. It's probably our plan. So,
I would love to go back to D23 this year, but I don't think it's in the cards for this year. Which is only like a month and a half away.
Yeah,
you know?
I was gonna say it's pretty soon.
Yeah, I don't think I'm going to make it. But let's talk about the other new attraction, or the whole new land.
Yeah, so
that opened
on the other coast, the other side
back
of the country.
Florida.
They've opened the Pandora, the World of Avatar at...
Pandorica.
At Animal Kingdom.
Only 5 years in the making.
Yeah. So, this I'm decidedly less enthusiastic about.
Okay, so... Did you like the movie, Avatar?
I've never seen it, and I don't care.
It's an okay movie. There's some cool things about it.
Mm.
I saw it in the theater in 3D, which made it worthwhile.
It's what put modern 3D movie technology on the map. It was the one that changed the game for everybody. But it didn't appeal to me at all. And I've always maintained that Disney has buyer's remorse for this. I still think that's true. I think they've done a pretty impressive job by and large based on what I've seen.
Yeah.
But I still feel like Disney has buyer's remorse.
So I've been watching,
and it's all in the time frame of how it all went down.
Oh yeah. I've been watching a lot of videos. I mean, yeah, you're right, because right after they did that, it was, oh, we could do Star Wars Land.
But you have to think about what preceded it as well.
It was Harry Potter.
It was Harry Potter at Universal.
They're like, shit, what do we have that we could compete with that?
Exactly. So Universal had kind of momentarily dethroned the king of theme parks.
I still think they have a little bit still.
Well, and so that left Disney caught a little off guard and scrambling. And I think in their they panicked. Straight up, I think they panicked and went, well, what's a major property that we could latch onto that's a big deal right now? And for some reason, they landed on Avatar, even though by the time they'd made that decision, it was already irrelevant.
Yeah.
And so they bought it. They showed James Cameron around the park. They did all this press stuff. It's this big deal. And then it was radio silence for the longest time. And I think that radio silence was because now all of a sudden they're working on all these deals to acquire Star Wars and Lucasfilm and Marvel and all of this stuff.
Yep.
And then they're going, well, shit.
We still got to do it now.
We're on the hook for this Avatar thing still.
Yeah, you're totally right. So watching videos of – I watch a lot of YouTube Disney people and they go through and I've seen a couple that have – you know, gone to like the sneak preview, you know, the media days, and then mm-hmm. like the one we were watching earlier where they were there when it was like super fucking packed,
mm-hmm.
like a 6-hour wait for every ride, you know?
Or by the end of the day, it was like a several hour wait just to get into the land.
Just to get into the land. And the land doesn't look huge. You know where this is, right?
In the park? It's where the Festival of the Lion King used to be.
Camp Minnie Mickey area. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So it was like a character meet and greet spot.
And they had Festival of the Lion King, which was, you know, a big area. But the whole area in its entirety wasn't that big.
Right.
So this is not a massive, huge park now. But there's only two rides. There's the River Adventure, Navi River Adventure,
mm-hmm.
which I feel is a lackluster attraction. I haven't been on it.
It doesn't make sense to me.
It's just, it doesn't feel like a fully realized attraction.
Yeah, it really doesn't. I watched, because we watched video of it several weeks ago and had that thought. So now that it's open and I've seen more of the land,
it's like a tech demo.
And I watched video for the other attraction, which we'll get to.
Yeah.
I went back and watched different video footage of the boat ride that I hadn't watched yet. And still going through it, I'm like, it's pretty. They have, you know, their colors and
bioluminescence.
Everything's bioluminescent. Everything's bioluminescent.
Wait till you go at night.
And I mean, it looks okay from like a visual design standpoint. It looks okay, but from an attraction design standpoint, it makes no sense to me at all. Like, I don't understand what the point of it is. It doesn't. The spectacle is not great enough to carry it by itself.
Right.
But if that's your case, then you need some kind of story to pull you through, and there is not one. There's zero narrative.
There's a theme, but no narrative.
Yeah. I feel like the entire ride was made so that you could see that one animatronic at the end.
Yeah.
And it's cool. It's a really well-done animatronic, but it's not strong enough to be...
Why not just make it a walkthrough attraction then?
Right. The attraction doesn't make sense to me, and it still doesn't watching through it again with a little bit more context of what else is going on. When I first watched it, I didn't know where it was or anything, and I thought maybe it would serve a similar function to the like Finding Nemo dark ride that leads into the seas with Nemo and friends, that it's kind of a way to introduce you to a new area that you get on outside. You go through this boat that introduces you to the flora and fauna of this new world. You get to see one of the Navi or several, the one really impressive one. And then
that welcomes you. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And then I would think you would get off the ride and now you're inside. Now you're immersed. Now you're in it. And if it was that would kind of make sense. But watching through it again, I really don't think that's the case.
Sort of what they did over at Universal with the train that takes you from one part, from mm-hmm. one Harry Potter land to another.
Yeah.
It's a built-in narrative as well as a transportation.
Mm-hmm.
I can see that, but...
But this doesn't seem like that's what it's doing.
But would you want to have to get on that ride every time you want to go into that area?
Well, but it doesn't... It's not a requirement, just like the Finding Nemo thing. You don't have to go into the seas via that ride.
Right.
But it's an option, and it's kind of fun. It's like it's a fun way to introduce yourself to what's coming. But I don't feel like that's what they did here. And so it leaves me wondering what the point of it is, and I'm not understanding it.
I'm right there with you. I mean, when I go... I'll ride it, and it'll look great, and maybe we'll have a different opinion, actually, after we physically have been on it, but I don't know,
certainly,
maybe.
It's certainly a completely different experience being there versus watching it on YouTube. It's
right.
It's absolutely a different thing, and I appreciate that, but even if I'm missing immersive sound or scent or whatever, I still don't feel like any of that is going to make up for what it seems to
definitely
be
not wait worth a 6-hour wait either.
No and then, so I guess moving on, even worse was the wait for the Flight of Passage,
yeah,
which is more of your e-ticket attraction, mm-hmm. for this area. And it, so you're flying, you ride Banshees,
you're riding, it's a more one of the YouTubers that I watched, this guy, Tim Tracker, he called it, it's basically Soarin' 2.0.
Kind of.
It's like, just a new iteration
like
of Soarin'.
It's part Soarin', part Star Tours.
Yeah, exactly right.
That's what it is. So it's like, I don't know what it adds again. I don't know if it's doing anything that new and exciting. And I'm not saying that everything they do has to, but I wasn't wowed by it.
Why not have a roller coaster that you actually fly in real life, you know, like the Duel and Dragons in Universal?
Mm-hmm.
And seem it really well to go through the fauna and like the forest area. That'd be really cool, you know?
Yeah.
But I guess they're trying to do something that's more... where everybody could do it.
Okay.
But here's the thing about this ride. I've heard big people, not just overweight people, but because it's a weird attraction. It's sort of like the Tron roller coaster
kind of
in Shanghai.
Lean over
it's sort of
it,
like
right?
on a sort of like
a
motorbike.
A
yeah, like a motorcycle. You have a piece that clicks across your back, and then you have two pieces that click on the back of your calves. And they're saying people that have really big calves, if it doesn't click all the way, you can't ride it. It's not just for being overweight. It's just some people just have muscular calves, or they're just, you know, tall or whatever it is. They're having trouble riding it.
Okay.
So
that would be really disappointing to find out after waiting for 8 hours.
A little bit. They need to have like...
I might be a little perturbed.
Universal has this thing where you can test it before you get on it.
Uh-huh.
They need to have one of those out there. You know what I mean? I don't know. I mean... I don't want to. I have a friend of mine who's actually there. They were there today, and I was watching some of her live video, and it didn't look. There was a couple. I think there was a 2-hour wait for that ride today.
Okay.
It was a Wednesday as we're recording this, so it's not horrible.
Mm-hmm.
I wouldn't mind doing it, but I'm not going to make a special trip out there. You know what I mean?
Yeah, yeah. I actually asked John Michael, who used to be part of this show, because he went. The land wasn't fully open yet. I don't know what state it was in, but I know like the Flight of Passage wasn't open yet. I think the River Ride was
okay.
So
he's already been there.
He went,
okay.
And he took some photos and stuff, and had posted something on Instagram or somewhere. He had posted about how impressive it was, and so I asked him, as somebody who who's not seen Avatar and does not care about Avatar at all, but who likes theme parks and good theming and Disney, all this stuff, is it something that I would want to check out? And he said, yes. He says, if you appreciate good theming, definitely go see it. And so on that count, I feel like this whole new Pandora land is a thing that I would go check out if I was already there and had some time to kill.
Exactly.
But I am not motivated to go do any of this stuff, really. I'm not that impressed with it.
And if you're going to go, I mean, I would recommend just booking in advance, get your fast passes. Mm-hmm. You don't have to worry about it. You don't have to worry about your... By the time you go, later in the year, it's not going to be that big of a deal. There's going to be lines, but it's not going to be like 6 hours, like opening weekend. You know what I mean?
Right.
It'll be fine. It'll be like Snow White. Maybe there's like a 2 hour wait or something like that at the most on a Saturday afternoon, you know, it's not going to be horrible, but I don't know. That's a lot of stuff in one weekend.
Yeah.
And then, like I said, Universal.
Joe Rohde, the Imagineer, Joe Rohde tweeted a picture opening day for Pandora of, I don't think it was his photo. I think that somebody had sent it to him. But he posted a photo of the line for the gift shop where they sell the little pet banshees.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
The line for the gift shop was fucking ridiculous. Like, I don't need any of this that bad.
And I've seen, you know, people doing reviews on the food and that kind of stuff. It's all strange food. I mean, it's
okay,
different.
I haven't seen anything about the food yet.
It looks interesting. They have, like, one of the main restaurants, the Mess Hall, they sell, like, protein bowls. So you can get, like, rice or, you know, quinoa or whatever hipster stuff they put in there. You get, like, a protein and, like, veggies and stuff on it. So it's a little bit, it's different than your typical hamburger and hot dog type of stuff, you know what I mean?
Okay.
Which is cool.
Disney's pretty good at that, really. Yeah. I mean, they have that.
Especially Animal Kingdom.
Yeah. Yeah, really everywhere, I think. I mean, they have your, you know, your junk food staples like hamburgers and pizza and everything, but really I think they do a pretty good job of branching out and having options available. So, that's cool.
My favorite thing, I still thinking about it, is in Fantasyland, when you go there, you need to try this place out. It's on the old part of Fantasyland, but it's right by the new Fantasyland entrance, but they sell macaroni and cheese bowls.
Okay.
And they have one that has like pulled pork on it.
Cool.
Best thing in the world.
Which spot is that?
Friar Tuck's, I believe, is the name of it. Yeah. It's really good. Do it like for like a lunch. It's just like a little quick service like counter thing, but yeah. It's really good.
I think we're going to do all counter service this next time. Like, because we usually do the meal plan, which includes a counter service meal and a table service meal. And I think this next time we're going to do like the counter service meal.
Have y'all done Be Our Guest yet?
We were able to do it for lunch.
That's what we did it. We did
now,
it for lunch.
And that, oddly enough, that was like shortly after it opened. And we were still able to get in. When we went back on our next trip, we couldn't get in at all.
Yeah.
It somehow got busier with time.
Right.
That first trip, when it was all pretty much brand new, we lined up outside the restaurant at about, I don't remember, I think they opened at 11. I think we were in line at like 10:30 and just waited for a little while. It wasn't that bad.
Oh, wow.
And we got to go in and do a lunch, and it was pretty cool. But yeah, we couldn't get in at all when we went back the next time. So
yeah, we did a reservation for lunch, which is weird.
That's like the only
quick service you can do a
reservation
for.
Thing. Yeah.
Yeah.
And
the food was decent. I mean,
yeah, it's all right.
It's expensive, but you're in Disney.
You're at Disney. I remember where I was going, but I have done that.
So both your girls are old enough now to ride any attraction? Are they tall enough?
Our oldest one, she can do everything. And the youngest one is probably just now reaching the point where she can start riding some of the... She's not going to be able to do everything. She's not going to be able to do stuff like Rock and Roller Coaster, where some of the ones where the height requirement's a little bit taller.
Yeah.
But she'll be able to do stuff like Space Mountain and things like that this next time. She hasn't done any of that before. And we were actually talking about it the other day. She was a little intimidated by the prospect. But I have a feeling that if she would just get on one and do it, that she'd be addicted.
We took my niece when she, my youngest niece when she was 9, and I think my older niece was maybe 15 at the time. And my youngest niece just graduated high school this past weekend, and she still regrets not going on Rock and Roller Coaster to this day. She's like, I wish I'd gone. Like, I tried to get you to go, but you didn't want to do it.
I told you
you would have fun. It was one of those things, you know. All right, well, I think it's time to wrap it up.
Okay.
We have one thing I wanted to talk about at the very end. There's a new Coffee Geek.
Yeah, I wanted to make sure we talked about this too.
The Coffee Geek comic book podcast location opening up in Houston. called Coral Sword. Or you can call it Coral.
Coral. But do you know what the name is a reference to?
I do not, actually.
I don't either.
So. It's going to be opening up sometime before the end of the year near U of H. So it's on Telephone Road right over in that area, which is a great place because you have a lot of the college kids over there. It started by a friend of our show, Ming Chen, and Hunter Pence, who used to be an Astro.
Mm-hmm. He plays for the Giants now.
Okay. I met him last year and didn't know who the hell he was. He came into my old job and everybody was like, oh my God. Because him and his wife came in there to buy some equipment, and they're in there for like 2 hours, like looking at stuff, playing with cameras and all that kind of stuff. And I came down to do something and I talked to them and I got introduced. And I'm like, oh, okay. Hi, how you doing? And like somebody came up to me, he's like, do you know who that was? I'm like, no, not really. Sorry. But it's cool that he's partnering up with Ming Chen to do this. If you're from the Houston area, if you know what Neil's Bar is, which is an alcoholic bar that has geeky aspects to it, this is a coffee version of that.
Mm-hmm.
Ming's really into coffee. I'm not
like,
so much me.
I like coffee.
But I think it'd be a cool place to hang out at.
Yeah.
There's going to be a podcast nook.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know quite what it's going to mean. Will you be able to do live shows there? Will people, like an audience, come and watch people do live podcasting? Because there's a lot of great podcasts in the Houston area that really would benefit from this. And that's cool that he's supporting it that much.
Right.
And I think it's great.
Yeah, and they're going to have comic books, I think.
Comic books, yeah.
Board games, video games.
Oh, yeah, tabletop games, all that kind of stuff, yeah.
Yeah, so definitely a cool, geeky place to be. I'm excited about that. I think it's going to be fun.
I'm excited, yeah. Maybe we can sponsor them or they can sponsor us. One of the two. We'll work something out.
Okay.
We'll be the official podcasters. We'll have to fight other podcasts off.
Yeah, we're going to have to fight for that one.
I know a couple people right now that want to fight for that. But, yeah, check it out. We'll talk about it more when it gets closer to opening. And we'll get Ming back on the show and talk about it once it's closer to opening up and, you know, get some more information about it. Anything else you wanted to touch upon?
I don't guess so. Nothing super pressing.
George will be back next episode. So let's talk about, you can find us all over the internet at Metal Geeks. So the Instagram, the Twitter, and the Facebooks. MetalGeeks.net is your home to find all the episodes for this show, as well as our sister show, MSRcast. We need to get you back on some more episodes. I need to bring some metal into it.
Yeah, it's been over a year at this
point, been a while. It's always weird with our schedule because, like, with my co-host on that show, Sean the Metal Pigeon, it's always, like, late, last-minute scheduling type of things, you know what I mean? But we need to work out something with you on that show. We still got to get George on that show. We need to have him pick out all the metal we're going to play.
Okay.
I think that'll be a fun episode.
Yeah.
So, again, find us on iTunes and subscribe to us there. Give us a 5-star review. Give us a review at all. It really does help people find this show. If you enjoy it, if you like any of the stuff that we talk about, let other people know about it. Tweet about it. Share us on Facebook. Share us on Instagram. All that good stuff. I think that's it for Metal Geeks. Oh, Stitcher and the Google Play now as well.
Cool.
And ESOpodcast.com is our other host. Anything for you?
Where you can find me. You can find me at Red Viking Dave on Instagram and Twitter and on Facebook now as well. I have an artist page on Facebook under the Red Viking Dave moniker.
And I bought a piece of art from you at Comic Palooza.
Yeah. The,
one of your prints. One of your grim grinning ghosts.
Yes.
It's it's really cool. If you want this, if you're a Haunted Mansion fan, we've talked about earlier, you need to get this piece. It's black metal versions of the singing bust from the Haunted Mansion. It's pretty awesome.
All done in stippling. I haven't done a full piece in stippling.
No, what is that? I don't know what that means.
Stippling is an inking technique where all of the shading is done with individual dots. There's no lines or hatching in the shading. It's all dots. It took forever, which is why I've always avoided that technique. But I watch a lot of artists who do stippling heavily, and they get such fantastic results out of it. And I'm like,
it looks great. Yeah.
I'm going to have to get in there and try it out. So that was my first piece where all of the shading was done in stippling, and yeah, it was fun. It was tedious.
How long did that piece take you to make?
I don't know. I didn't really clock that one. That one was probably 8 hours or so, something like that. Okay. So
very cool.
But I'm not really sure. I'm really bad at measuring my time on stuff like that. So,
and I guess we have to mention Grey Bear Comics.
We have to.
We don't have to, but we will.
It's such a burden.
So George isn't here. We'll do it for you anyways. No, Grey Bear Comics is his comic book company that he's done with Justin from the Mind Fudge Comedy. Formerly, he's been on this show many, many times. Good friend of the show. Check it out. The issue 2 is available now. They're working on 3 and onwards. Doing really good stuff. So check out Grey Bear Comics. And I think that's it.
And Horror Geek Life.
Horror Geek Life, yeah. Now I'm part of the crew, the Horror Geek Life crew. I have some cool things that I want to bring to the table there.
I've thought about maybe putting my name forward to them, but I don't know if I want to make any kind of time commitments.
That was my thing, is time and commitment, because it does take time, especially if you do an interview and you have to transcribe. Mm-hmm. I don't have time for that.
Yeah.
It's, yeah, but well, very
that's,
special
that's
ones.
That's what... Interns speech to text is for. That's flawless, right?
Flawless, yeah. I've looked into shit like that. It doesn't really work. But yeah, check out that. And check out our sponsor at tantrumcollectibles.com. Put in the coupon code MetalGeeks to save 10% off your order. So thanks for tuning in to episode 130 of the Metal Geeks podcast. I have been your host, your ghost host, Carry the Metal Geek, along with...
Brutal Dave.
All right. What's that last thing we got to do?
Keep it metal.
Keep it geeky.
Hey, Geekazoids. Thanks for listening to another fine podcast brought to you by MSR Productions. All rights reserved, blah, 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 blah. For reviews, archives of our podcasts, and all your other metal geekery needs, please visit metalgeeks.net. Keep it geeky. Keep it metal.